Welcome to South Mecklenburg Presbyterian Church's podcast, where every week we bring you the scripture and sermon from Sunday's worship. We are an inclusive, vibrant faith community located in the Ballantyne neighborhood of Charlotte, North Carolina. We seek to worship, grow, and serve with intention as disciples of Jesus Christ, and we strive to be a place where all are welcomed and made to feel at home. We're members of the Presbyterian Church USA and are led by our pastor, Dr. Matt Brown, and our associate pastor, Dr. Whitney Baer. Please join us for worship every Sunday at 10:10 a.m. in the sanctuary or via live stream at smpchome.org.
Let us join our hearts in prayer together. O Lord, amidst the many words of this generation, we pray that you would silence all voices but your own, so that we may hear your word as it is read, so that we may listen with open hearts as your word is proclaimed, so that we may be enriched by the word made flesh and equipped for service in Christ's name. So be with us now as we read your holy word through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first reading for this morning is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Let us open our hearts and hear the word of our Lord. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord.
Our second reading this morning comes to us from Matthew's Gospel, from the second chapter beginning at the first verse. Let us listen for God's word to us. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child, And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage. When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today marks the end of a year, and therefore naturally we are drawn, as we are at each year's end, towards reflection. Reflection on the days that have passed, reflection on the year that has gone by, in some ways quickly zipping by, and in other ways slowly moving along. We're drawn into reflection of what we have done in this past year, of who we have been, of what we wish we had done, and experiences we have shared. Time is relentless in its ongoingness, always marching on steadily without our permission and often without our attention. Yet we would do well at this year's end to take a moment, as these years change from one to the next, to look back on the year that has been. As Maya Angelou eloquently put it, you can't really know where you are going until you know where you have been. At the beginning of a new year, we are really good at looking ahead. We love to make New Year's resolutions. Maybe you're already pondering yours. We love to set new goals, and we love to dream and hope for what the future might hold. That is all important and meaningful work. But we shouldn't let it overshadow the value of looking back and reflecting. Years ago, I was introduced to the word Sankofa. It was the theme of a Presbyterian Christian educators conference that I attended. Sankofa is an expression in the Twi language of Ghana in West Africa. It loosely translates as to go back and get. This translation comes from a proverb of theirs that says it's not taboo to go back for what you forgot or left behind. As one definition reads, this phrase, Sankofa, encourages learning from the past to inform the future, reaching back to move forward, and lifting as we climb. One symbol for this word is that of a bird, which is depicted with its neck turned and looking behind, while its body and feet face forward. This concept of Sankofa can serve to remind us that as we journey forward into the new year, it's important to take our past experiences with us, that they might inform our future. And not just personal experiences, but especially those that are collective, that of our shared history together. This is especially true for the church. Each year at Christmas, we tell a familiar story from our past, a story of shepherds and angels, of kings and a star, of a mother and her child, of a manger in a stable. It is a story of Jesus, a story of God with us, a story of wonder, and a story of deep joy. As Christians, this story is part of where we've been, and therefore important for us to take with us as we step into the future. one particular part of this story with a few specific characters, that of the Magi, are the focus of our gospel reading for today as we celebrate Epiphany. The word Epiphany, as we understand it in the PCUSA, means the appearance or manifestation of God. It has roots in the word for sunrise or dawn. In ancient times, an epiphany meant either a visible manifestation of a god or the solemn visit of a ruler venerated as a god. For Christians, Christmas marks the coming of God to us. Epiphany celebrates the appearance of the Lord in the midst of humanity. The Christmas stories of the birth of Emmanuel declare God with us. In our celebrations of Christmas and Epiphany, we rejoice in the light that shines in the darkness. It is through the Magi that we are drawn into this Epiphany, the Magi which only appear in Matthew's Gospel. And contrary to popular belief, we don't even know if there were actually three of them. We only know that three gifts are mentioned. But how many magi were there isn't really all that important. It also isn't that important to know exactly who they were or exactly where they came from, which is also not fully known. Matthew leaves us questioning about those details. But Matthew doesn't leave us questioning what the Magi did. And maybe that's what's most important. The first thing they did was go to Jerusalem and ask, "Where is this child? For we observed his star at its rising, and we have come to worship him." Here we find out two very important things. First, the Magi were on a journey, and second, they had a specific destination and purpose in mind. They were traveling to see the baby born King of the Jews and to worship him. What happens next is that Herod finds out and is frightened, and we read all of Jerusalem with him. A king has been born, and he therefore feels quite threatened. So Herod calls together the chief priests, the scribes, and inquires of them, "Where is this Messiah who has been born?" They tell him that as it is written, he has been born in Bethlehem. At this point, the Magi come back into the story as Herod secretly calls them to meet with him so he can find out from them the exact time when the star appeared. Herod then sends the Magi to Bethlehem so that they can search diligently for the child and come back and tell him where they have found this baby. Herod lies to the Magi and tells them that he wants to know where the baby is so that he too can go and worship. The Magi go to Bethlehem. They follow the star, although not because of Herod's prodding, but because of their own deep longing. Matthew says they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overjoyed. Joy, as Webster defines it, is a feeling of deep pleasure or gladness. Joy can also mean exuberance or delight. I wonder, though, if the joy the Magi felt was one of a calm delight. I struggle to picture them jumping up and down and whooping and hollering with joy, although maybe they did. But rather, I picture a calm dawning of sorts and more of a reverent awe as they realized that they had finally arrived at the place where they sought to be. And although I know the scene there was not as picture perfect as our nativities depict it, it was nevertheless very holy. As the Magi drew near in awe of the infant king, as they bowed to worship him, extending their gifts, I imagine then a calm delight of joy washed over them. As we journey through these last few days of the Christmas season, I pray a calm delight of joy will wash over us too as we take time to ponder this story. A story of a young and frightened couple traveling on a long journey that is ill-timed and praying only to make it safely to Bethlehem to find a place to rest, a place to be safe before the baby comes. An innkeeper with a packed house, yet a generous heart, lets them sleep in his barn and does just so in time. Shepherds, minding their own business, simply doing their job, shaken to the core by the astonishing sight of angels in the sky. Angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace." Angels who urge these wayward shepherds to go and see the Savior who has come to save all people, even them. Animals lying in their beds of straw and hay, a place that has now been transformed into a holy place. Where once they used to eat, and now a baby lies, but not just any baby. It's the Messiah, the Lord. Joseph, overwhelmed by all that has happened, speechless and lost in abounding wonder. Mary, overwhelmed as well and exhausted, cradles her baby and can do no more than love him like any mother loves a child, while pondering the mystery of it all. And the Magi, with their deep and reverent awe, bowing in worship. Emmanuel, God with us, born to us. And the world has never been the same. May this story, this part of our collective and shared past, inform our going forward. May the hope that this story provides, the hope of knowing that we do not ever journey alone, the hope of knowing that wherever we have been and wherever we are going, God is there too. Yes, may this story inform what we know, yet may it also inform what we do. May it encourage our worship, and may it encourage our giving. Poet Ann Weems refers to this giving as star giving in her poem by the same name. She writes, "What I'd really like to give you for Christmas is a star, brilliance in a package, something you could keep in the pocket of your jeans or in the pocket of your being. Something to take out in times of darkness, something that would remind you what Christmas has always meant, God's Advent light into the darkness of this world. But stars are only God's for giving, and I must be content to give you words and wishes and packages without stars. But I can wish you a life as radiant as the star that announced the Christ child's coming, and as filled with awe as the shepherds who stood. And I can pass on to you the love that has been given to me, ignited countless times by others too, who have knelt in Bethlehem's light." Again, as we understand it in the PCUSA, Epiphany not only discloses the Savior to the world, but also calls the world to show forth Christ, to be witnesses to God's true light, the timeless mystery of the incarnation. God in flesh leads us forth to show and tell of Christ as God's gift of grace and salvation for all people. Some call this ongoing epiphany the work of Christmas. Howard Thurman says it well. When the song of the angels is stilled, when the star in the sky is gone, when the kings and princes are home, when the shepherds are back with their flocks, the work of Christmas begins. To find the lost, to heal the broken, to feed the hungry, to release the prisoner, to rebuild the nations, to bring peace among the people, to make music in the heart. May this story of Christmas, this story of Christ's birth, this story of God with us, may this story inform our future. May this story of where we've come from inform where we are going. And may the joy we know, this overwhelming joy, guide us as we seek to bring joy to others. May it be so. And let us pray. God of endless light, you sent a star, rising from darkness, guiding seekers and sages, overwhelming us with joy. Let the splendor of your dawning light, we pray, grow in us and in all the world, until the whole creation shines with your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our light. Amen.